Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
Hello, Vietnam.
Hello.
I've been watching a lot of old clips of like YouTube TV shows and like countdown. So,
yes.
Hi, what everybody.
Hello, Vietnam. I know.
Yeah, like- it was a show from I think MASH, like an
old. Oh, okay. There we go. Yes.
I'm so old, y'all.
Vintage.
I'm very seasoned.
Okay, vintage. What you been up to, best friend?
Well, happy holiday weekend for those who have the day off. I've been sleeping and relaxing. I used to call this the start of summer. So I've just been doing good. How are you over there in sunny California? Is it sunny or is it gloomy?
No, it's not. It's very unsunny. It's that June gloom crap, even though, you know, I guess June is about to start, but I'm not really feeling the weather. As most transplants who move to LA, and it's like, we didn't move out here for this Seattle ass weather. Where is the sun? Where is the sun and where is the heat?
I can't believe it's June. Like, where is time going?
Apparently 2023 got somewhere to be, because this thing has really been in and out. Like, all right, next. Okay,
I was like, is it just me? I feel like time is like, all right, May. It was just January 1st. Literally. I was just sitting under a table eating some grapes. Pretty okay.
And now we're like really going into the summer. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's going to be Christmas. It's going to be Christmas next week. So enjoy your summer.
Because my winter coat will be out before
apparently,
I know.
Apparently, that's just what's happening. Like, time is just timing on by.
And the star of some TV shows.
Yeah, that's what honestly like a big favorite of mine, because I be busy, but when I make my time to watch my shows, and I watch them different kind of ways. Like I caught Housewives of Atlanta. Typically I'll watch Housewives of Atlanta the next day. I'm one of those once it's like updated to the Bravo app. But I caught that baby last night on my little website.
Wow.
No commercials.
Do you feel different when you watch stuff live versus like playback?
I mean, I can't even say it's live. Honestly, bestie, I don't even remember the last time I've watched anything live. It's really been a very, very long time. I don't even know. It's not live. I'm always really catching stuff like after it might have just came on and then it got updated to a website or to the app. I can remember the good old days of watching things live, like and live tweeting things. Those are kind of fun, like to be able to live tweet it. But I prefer just really once the conversation, like once the episode has really aired and everyone has had time to take it in, because that's when like Twitter's popping and everything, because now it's like everybody's kind of catching it. I'm not really a live tweeter because I do not have Twitter. I'm sorry.
I'm not a live tweeter. Yes.
I'm a post show tweeter.
She needs to sit with the shows, with the material.
Yeah, I need to update it to the app and then I will catch it, as with most of us. Cause you know, people like say things like, oh, the ratings for this episode or it wasn't that great. But then it's like, are you counting the ratings by the next morning when most people are watching these things? Cause a lot of people are streaming television like me. They're not watching it from cable. So you're not really watching anything live.
Oh. And I think, you know, it's 2023. You got to get it how you get it. So speaking of getting it, how we getting it, let's get into this weekly grab. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first because the first on my list is a reality show, but a streaming one on Netflix, Selling Sunset Season 6 is up there now, up to like episode, yeah, season six, because I think they, at the end, you'll see they're just like showing coming up next season, which would be season seven. I was taking my sweet little time to get around to watching it. I've been watching Selling Sunset since season one.
I was going to ask, you've been on it from season one.
Okay. I love Selling Sunset. You know, since it's come out, I've already been living in LA. So the show has always resonated with me as an LA resident because they're in LA. They're in West Hollywood selling these lavish properties around the city of LA that I probably would never see in person. So it's nice to at least see them on a show. And so last season ended real crazy on a cliffhanger because Christine Quinn, who was the resident bitch in charge, she quit. And so that's how the show ended. And so you're really kind of wondering, like, well, how are they going to come back? So that's kind of where I was. I was like, well, I'll see what people are saying. So once I kind of just started seeing conversations on Twitter, I was like, all right, let me go check it out. I finally watched it. It was good. They did not need Christine.
Okay.
The new villain is Chelsea Lascani. She's like, the British, the British Nigerian girl. Like, but she had already been, it's basically like Christine passed the torch to her because she and Christine were getting along during Christine's last season. So now with Christine gone, it's like Chelsea's kind of by herself, but Chelsea is holding her own. Like she really, especially with being the only Black person in the office, she don't give a good goddamn. She comes in there with her high fashions, her lavish lace fronts, and gets up in people's business, calls people out. And it's like she plays the villain role very, very well. So to the point where I don't even want to give her a piss poor because I love how she shakes the table.
She understands the assignment.
Yes. It's doing it to me in a tasteful way. She's not a Marlowe who we'll get into later. You know, like she's really kind of owning it, like saying like, oh, well, Mary, maybe you don't need to be the manager because when these two are arguing, you're like, oh, I don't want drama, but you can't like get into it and just shut it down like a leader should.
That's not a bad observation.
You know, and then you have Bree Tizzy, who is one of Nick Cannon's baby mamas. And I would say she kind of started on the wrong foot with Chelsea. So from there, it's kind of like you gave Chelsea even more ammo to now target you. Because Bree, what I get from Bree, I will say I don't really like her. You can tell like she just kind of has a chip on her shoulder. She explains it lightly saying like, basically she grew up in LA. So she just doesn't trust women because she already knows they can be funny style. And I totally get that. But it's like, she came into the Oppenheim group. Chelsea brought up the fact that when she joined the Oppenheim group in season five, they didn't let her join the team until she sold the house. But here comes Bree, and she just joins the Oppenheim group without selling shit. And you know, Chelsea doesn't call it light skin privilege, but it's like when she calls it out, it's like you can kind of gather like, well, what's the big difference here other than the skin tone? And oh, what, because she's one of Nick Cannon's baby mamas, which that also gets brought up because Bree kind of, you basically get a sense that Nick has an open relationship with basically all of his baby mamas, minus Mariah, because, you know, they're not together.
Right. So he just kind of can do what he wants with them.
Exactly. Because she's basically describing him as her man, but they're in an open relationship. But then she gets tight when at that time, while they were filming, LaNisha Cole gave birth.
Was pregnant.
Right. Well, gave birth. And she didn't even know. She didn't even know they were together. Didn't even know she was pregnant. But she had been making it seem like she knew everything. Like he would let her know who he got pregnant next or whatever. But whoop, surprise, your baby got another new sibling and you didn't know about it. So she had confided that into Chelsea. And then Chelsea goes back and tells the rest of the group. And she's kind of talking about it behind her back. So it's like that. But ultimately, though, it's a lot of just natural kind of cast dynamic in cast drama. Chriselle, she's not the little pushover anymore that she used to be with Christine. There's this new girl, Nicole, who's like kind of picking at her. And Chriselle just was like, you do drugs. And everyone's like, oh my God. Oh my God. I know she.
You said it like that. You do
Mary
drugs.
Mary was like, no, she doesn't. No, she does. Like, yeah, she flat out was like, you do drugs. So I don't know if you're wired up right now, like just like straight out there, put her. Then the girl, and the next scene, the girl's like, I took a drug test and it came back negative. Well, where's the drug test? Because you could just say you took it, you know? So I don't know. But Chrishell,
should they going? You do drugs.
So. Yo, pulled her card. So ultimately, I just feel like, damn, like this is a good show. It does kind of even show, because, you know, I was upset when they canceled Selling Tampa. Mm-hmm. But it's still just very different. When you watch this season of Selling Sunset, it's like, yeah, Selling Tampa just wasn't bringing it in that way. However, I do hope that they still are on the search for the right way of making this show more diverse, because again, it's just Selling Sunset, and then they're plugging the Selling the OC cast who comes over towards the end of the season. And it's like all this whitey white. And it's like, come on now, that's not really how the real estate industry looks. Maybe in LA, but not around the country. And you had one show. So I really do hope that they bring that back, bring back at least a more diverse cast of real estate agents like they had with Selling Tampa for one damn season. But ultimately, this season of Selling Sunset's really good. So check it out on Netflix. What you got?
Yes, she'll watch that for the both of us because I don't care about houses. So
yes, I love houses.
She does. The first show on my weekly grab is this new show on Apple TV that I'll be canceling since Ted Lasso is over this Wednesday. I am so sad. I am not okay. It's the best season. So this show is called Platonic, which is actually a really good show. It has Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne in it. Basically, they're a male, and I kind of wanted to ask you this question since you're the married one. So it's a male and a female. They were best friends for years, like just friends. The female friend didn't like the wife, and like a lot of his friends didn't like the wife, but they got into a big argument. They had a fallout for years. She sees on Instagram that they're getting a divorce, so she randomly calls him, making it seem like, oh, hey, I just wanted to check in on you. And then he tells her about the divorce, and she's like, oh my God, you're getting a divorce? I didn't know. But they have two completely different lives. She's like housewife, was a lawyer, but her husband's a lawyer now, has three kids. He owns a wine bar. You know, he's playing Seth Rogen. But yeah. I like the dynamic because they're genuinely like best friends, not best friends who try to hook up. And it's not right. One of those things where it's like they're going to get together. It's exploring the nature of having friends that are not the same gender as you. And they were talking about this because the wife said, like, do you realize, like, all of our friends are couples. I talk to all the women and you talk to all the men. There's not a lot of like platonic friendships among opposite sexes once people get married. So right. I do like this angle of like, she has her husband, she loves her husband, but the same way you would text me for something, like they text each other. So I think the show is good. I might give it a shot, but I was thinking about that. Like how many like just guy straight friends do you have? And like, Mark has more, your husband has more like female friends, but like, I just think that's interesting.
It is interesting because I think like, especially what happens with adulthood, it's all about your everyday life and how that fits into someone else's everyday life versus how you're going to carry on this friendship. So that's what starts to happen where after marriage, it's kind of like you're sticking with your buddies. If you're a man and a woman, you're sticking with other ladies or gay men, right? When ultimately you can still have those heterosexual friendships, it's just also like, how does your lives fit into each other? So for the most part, when you are seeing like a heterosexual friendship, are they their coworkers, mm-hmm. their neighbors? Their kids go to school together, you know, their kids are friends or something of that sort, because it's not to say that I don't have heterosexual male friends, because I do. It's just like at this point in my life, my heterosexual male friends, we only really kind of stay in touch through social media. And that's just a light little comment on a post or maybe a little DM combo, but not to the degree of actually texting. The only people I'm like really texting about things I'm going through in life or whatever are my girls and my gays. It's still just that dynamic of kind of the gender roles of life, right? Because it's like for me, where I'm at in my life and I kind of just want to talk about something freely, it's probably about going to the gym, being tired, work getting on my nerves. And the only people who would care to hear about that other than my husband are my friends, and my friends are other like-minded, like other women are my gay friends, you know? I just don't, you know, it's like a hitting up a straight man. He's like, he don't want to hear me talk, complain about that shit. He already got to hear his wife, or, you know.
Right, exactly.
It's like, so you got to take that in doses. So when he's getting his escape, then he's talking with his guys, like Mark is talking to his guys about basketball, you know, or rappers, or, you know, the things that they, that it, an intrigue or interest them. I couldn't see him hitting up Tiny like, yo, you saw how LeBron, you know. But it's like, I know when Mark and Tiny do talk, because they are friends, it's like more along the lines of that shared, still they have that friendship, but it's still not the same as Tiny's probably talking to her homegirls on a daily basis.
Right. I think it's a very interesting show, because I think last scene, she was trying to have sex with her husband. It didn't work. And the husband rolled over and she started texting her best friend and they were talking about the sex. So I think it's an interesting take on like just genuinely platonic friends. So
wait, if you got her, she wasn't satisfied with the sex with her husband.
He says it's too long.
Oh, she was complaining to her.
It's 30 minutes. She said 30 minutes is too long for her. She needs it shorter. She and he told her to just punch. He told her punch him in the back. He'll get off, and she did it. And he ended up going like, kind of getting mad and rolling over. So she texts him like as soon as that happened. So I just think it's an interesting, like, they're not gonna get together. It's not one of those things, but it's just like how them being
so far. I mean, I don't know.
I hope not. I hope not. I'm tired of that.
To like, you're gonna hit up a man to complain that you're having sex for too long with your husband.
Yeah, they've just been platonic best friends since they were like in high school.
I don't know. So that's a sign of a hint of attraction.
Uh-oh, here we go. I stay tuned. I'm going to stay tuned to see.
Yeah, extend your Apple subscription. Extend the subscription.
Give them one more month.
Right. So you can continue to dig into the show and relay it back to the group. Yes. Okay. So next on my list, I want to talk a little bit about, oh, well, actually, you know what? Since you just talked about platonic, I'll touch on Couples Retreat over on MTV. Did you catch that yet?
I am up to the episode 2 where they was writing on the wall and stuff.
Oh, so yes. So yeah, because now it's up to episode 4. So you're catching up. I think this latest episode and just overall with this show, it's really highlighting how with like, you know, relationships, romantic based relationships, they can only really be successful when both partners are willing to do the personal healing first and then come together to complement each other and bring out the best in each other, you know, as a couple. Because, you know, you're seeing AJ say that, and then you're seeing it creep to the surface with different, you know, different relationships, whether it's Apollo with his like controlling issues, but him needing to work on that personally. And then, but then at the same time, certain things with his wife, her needing to find that happiness within herself personally before it's like coming to Apollo, like what you expect him to be. And he's still figuring himself out, having just come out of prison. The same with like Jock and his wife, Kendra. You're seeing it with Tariq. That's the fat boy SSE guy and his wife. Because everybody's like married minus Fallon and Jalen. And that reveal that, see, you're not up there, but it basically came out that she's living, like, you know, she's a cat woman. So, but
and she's 23, best friend. I did not know that he was that young.
Yes, and she's 34, and he's providing for her 4 children. They only have 1 child together. She has 3 other kids, and 2 of her sisters moved in.
Oh, and hell no.
It's like
she's not together.
She's kind of expecting this. Like, she expects him to provide for, and it's just like, girl, you really fumbled that bag with Simon, girl. Cause that you were supposed to stay right over there. If that's what you was expecting, you was not supposed to lose that to the 21-year-old pool boy and expect this little 21-year-old, now 23-year-old, to take care of you. You got 3 other kids by 3, like, girl, Fallon. I'ma need you to go on over, hit up Monietta Shaw, because Monietta seemed like she got some, you know, she got some options to hook up her friends with.
Hello, and she know them rich men.
Right, so I'ma need Fallon to go back to the drawing board, because she is gorgeous, beautiful woman. And I will say still, even with that reveal, of course, there's still a lot more to learn about Fallon, but there's not anything that I'm getting from her where I feel like I can't stand her. You know what I mean? I still like her and I'm still rooting for her. You can just tell, and she's unraveling a little bit. She comes with a lot of baggage. And she needs to work on that and heal on that. And I'm sure she'll find the right man, because she said she doesn't trust men. She doesn't respect men because she's never met a man who's respected her.
So I was just about to say that trauma she has to have of like, I don't care what Portia says. If you around my husband and then that becomes your husband, that's traumatic. And so I can only imagine what he has to deal with, like her trust issues, but he still got to pay all her bills.
Definitely. So I don't see that working. I really don't even recommend it. Like, for him as a 23-year-old, if that, like, I have a nephew that's that age, I would never. And to be with some 34-year-old with 3 already kids, and now he got one, and hell no. I'd be like, get up out of here. Get up out of there. Get away from my nephew, lady, with all them kids. So I would really like to just kind of see them go their separate ways, co-parent their child. Cause girl, clearly Fallon, you know everything about co-parenting, cause that's what you're doing. But I would definitely say find somebody a little bit more prepared to deal with a woman with 4 kids now. Okay. Not everybody got that Summer Walker, girl. So that's
everybody can't do it. Oh my gosh. Right. We're going to pray for Fallon and her love life. And speaking of praying for love life, next on my weekly grab is the biggest talk of every gay queer person in America. And that is the ultimatum queer love.
I thought we were going to do a deep dive on that.
Oh no, the deep dive you said was on
the ultimatum. Oh wait, no, you said Summer House. Okay,
yeah, Summer House. Because Summer House. I was like, no, I put Summer House. Okay.
Okay, wait, yes. Back to the gay show everybody's talking about.
So basically, there are 5 queer couples, because not everybody identifies as a she as of right now, which I love. They are all in going to the ultimatum. So the first season was all straight couples. This is like kind of, I think in my personal opinion, they want to do like a queer Love is Blind. So there's like, let's try this and see if this works. That's what I'm getting to. One, they have a new host. I love that it's not Vanessa and Nick, but I hate that it's a random white woman. She's not queer. She's not a part of the community.
She's not queer?
She's straight as hell. Her name is Joanna Garcia Swisher.
No, exactly. She should not be the host. Where's Raven Simone?
Y'all could have got Raven Simone and her wife. We just want to keep it on Netflix. Y'all could have got Chrishell, because now she with G Flip. That's, I know that. I don't want to show. You could have got Karamo from Queer Eye. You could have got anybody. They just picked a random white woman on.
I would have liked to see Raven Simone.
Somebody who has totally experience.
Her lane. She's available, I would think.
Yeah.
She would probably like to do something along this line. So
that's my first
on that one.
Critique.
I have no heterosexual woman.
And random best friend.
Because who is she? Now we're going to know who she is, because y'all making us know who she is.
Like, I've seen her and stuff, but she just, I don't know where they got her from. But she is still a better host than Vanessa and Nick. And I like it's just one person as opposed to a guy and a girl. Okay. So they have 5 couples. None of these people have been together longer than 3 years. None. Now, one couple has been together longer than 3 years. And one of them is giving an ultimatum to the other because they want that to be their person, their chosen. So that's the first stereotype, is like, gay people move too fast. Queer people move too fast. And it's just like, you've known this person for a year and you're ready to marry her. You're 24. Lexi is 24. Like, I'm ready for my wife. He's one of the most mature people on the show, but it's just a lot. So that's my first critique. I feel like this show is just like a lot. It's a good show. It keeps you interested with the drama, but also I can't. Like, a part of me just likes the representation. It's teaching a lot of people. One of the people on the show is queer, and they're very confused about how they want to identify. And I've never really seen that on TV. This is Aussie. So Aussie's I know I'm not a man. I know I'm not really a woman. I don't know how I want to identify. And I'm kind of going through that, because they're like, I don't want to be trans, but I don't know if I want to be. And like, they have a really honest conversation. So I like that just the exposure to kind of get in the mind of just how gender and sexuality and how you express yourself is on a spectrum and everybody is not super clear about it.
Right.
But other than that, it's just like lesbian drama. They're telling the person in the relationship with, I don't want to get married. They have one date with another bitch tomorrow. I can't wait to get married. What?
Yeah.
It's like you're literally, it's literally horrible. It's like you're getting everything from everyone you didn't ask for. I do think that one of the couples put together, they look like they're going to last. This is Yoli and Xander. I do think that they actually look like they like each other better. Too.
Like, but and Yoli was with Mel, right?
Yoli was with Mal, and which is the only
I
black
I know Mal was like member. Concerned because she was like, you know, you kind of only dated white people prior to me, and to see who you selected, it's like, oh, yep. Okay.
Xander is her type on a stick, so that's very kind of like. But I also just feel their energy and vibe is kind of different and more.
I agree. I like seeing Xander with Yoli over Vanessa. I'm sure a lot of probably what Xander was doing with Vanessa was just pouring into her because she's that type. It's like you can tell she just kind of needs attention and needs to feel desired. Yeah. So,
oh, yeah, no, we're going to go into Vanessa, okay? Because she's disgusting. I think it's a good show for representation.
Yeah, honestly, I watched the whole up to even the latest episode. I was like kind of binging it. Because I got into it. Because there were parts where I was like, all right, I'm fast forwarding it. Because it's like, it's all cheesy. It's like, all right, everyone's in love. Okay. but it does start to like, especially once you even see the dynamic with Mildred and Aussie. Aussie, I'm happy you caught that because I had missed that. I was picking up on Mildred refer to Aussie as like they, them, but then at times even saying she. So I was trying to keep up because it was hard at times to try to determine what everybody identifies as, because I didn't, it's kind of hard. Unless you hear them say that, you know, which I had missed that part. So I was just kind of picking up like, all right, she's like kind of referring to them in non-binary. And so now with you saying that, I'm wondering if that's part of why they're so closed off, Aussie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that's an issue. Like, you can't, first of all, I had the issue with you coming with leftovers that you only intended for yourself.
Hello.
Like, wait, you wasn't gonna, wait, so you even brought leftovers? You didn't even think to pick up the phone and ask me like, oh, I'm at this restaurant. Do you want something? Like, you not coming from just not being in a relationship. You was in a relationship with somebody. This is what, I can't even think of what Aussie's girlfriend's name was, but it's like,
Sam.
Dilawick? Yeah, she was like, oh, sometimes they just have to go meditate. No. You're not bringing me no food.
They just have to kind of get back with themselves. And then
No. You're going to get back with here in my mouth. If you really up in here not contributing to none of the food, but want to eat the food. No. Or you're talking. She was like, oh, well, I put some frozen food in there. For like, you really only think about yourself? No, girl.
And last but not least, lesbians, stop going crazy over these damn dogs. The way Tiff went crazy on Sam about Tiff not showing the dog love. That's not my damn dog.
If you don't rock with my dog, you got to go. Okay? She not playing about her dog. She not playing about Shiloh. That cracked
me. She was ready
up.
To burn the house down, best friend. Though, like,
I'm
she
sorry,
was like, my dog.
Right. I felt like it was projection. I don't think that, I'm sorry, that's the one I keep forgetting her name. I actually did a good job of remembering everyone's name.
Tiff.
Except for Aussie's girlfriend. What's Aussie's girlfriend's name?
Aussie's girlfriend, Sam, the one that went crazy about the dog is Tiff.
Right. So I know, yes. So Sam, I don't get that Sam was giving off any type of energy where it was really like, I don't like your dog, but I don't know. There might've been stuff we missed. However, what I was getting, I felt like Tiff was kind of projecting because she showed the most opposition to her spouse, Mildred, wanted to explore this experiment. And it's like, to me, I feel like the whole time she's just not really feeling it. She's just kind of going through with it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I agree.
You know, and so then seeing Sam kind of not be receptive to Shiloh, it's like she exploded over that. And it's like, that's not why you're really mad. Mm. You're really mad because you want to be with Mildred back in your apartment. And honestly, I do think that they are going to get back together. And I do think that Mildred now sees how good she has it with Tiff. Because you over here not getting no food with Aussie. And it's like, oh, get out the kitchen. I'm cooking. You know? So you need to know when you got a blessing, baby.
I agree. And that's another thing that they said. Like, sometimes these shows is just kind of like, people love the freedom of like, right. Oh, I want to be with somebody else. I don't want to do this. But sometimes that's not always best. Like, you got to keep choosing your person. So I will be staying tuned.
Oh, me too. I'm into it.
I'm interested to know, like, who stays together. And I hope we're right about Xander and Yoli.
Yeah, so far, I'm thinking Xander and Yoli and Mildred and Tiff will get back together. And no, as much as I would kind of hope for something with Mal and Lexi, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I see them being bros.
Yeah, because then it's not even so much Mal. First of all, it was hilarious during the dating when Mal and Tiff, they're like, yeah, so we're just going to kind of get through this date. Because wait, what is the terminology for what they
mask.
Are? Mask.
They're
yes. Mask.
So they're the masculine presenting women.
Oh my gosh. That was so hilarious seeing them. They were like, yeah, so we're going to just get through this date.
We're going to just get these drinks. I low-key wanted two masks to pick each other. I was like, nah, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But I'm definitely Lexi is very... There's a little bit of that. There's a lot of it in her. Not, you know, like she still is, you know, she's a woman. Like she still embraces her femininity. But I just kind of don't see her being compatible with Mal for that reason.
Same, 100%. I see them seeing bros, but everybody should watch that show.
On from one gay show to the next.
Yes.
So Drag Race. I just had some feedback because I'm just starting to be like, Candy Muse, Candy Messy Muse. Mm. I'm definitely peeping how Candy Girl is messy and combative and a bit fake. Mm. And, you know, that's our girl from NYC. She's from the Bronx. But it's like Candy is definitely the villain. And maybe we didn't notice it so much in season 13 because, well, once she was, you know, she was new. But what you are seeing in All Stars, Candy got a little bit of an ego. It seems like she got that season 13 fame went to her head because she was one of the standouts of her season. And it's like she keep bringing it up. Because in season 13, they even preach to the collage of her saying no. You're always just, when you just automatically are saying no, that you are it just innately shutting down what the other person just said or contributed. And then your ideas are not really there. She's just really one to just say no. Like we saw her do that with the first challenge that they actually ended up winning when they had Rock. And she's like, I'm not getting Rock, but the choreography that Heidi came up with, they did it and they won. So it's like when you were seeing it in this most recent episode where they were in a group of three, it's like she just wanted to kind of shut down Jimbo. But Jimbo was like not having it. And I loved it. I was very much here for it. And by the way, shout out to Jimbo for the term titty butt.
I love it. It is my There's a lot of women out here with titty butts.
A lot Are of you titty one butts. Of them? Right.
Do you have a titty butt?
Do you have a titty butt?
That needs to be a commercial.
And then Jessica Wilde just cracks me up. I have been loving her from the beginning. She is the comedic relief, like from the beginning, like just from the start of the show. She's herself. She doesn't give a shit. She goes out there. She just does her own thing since she did back in season two. And she's been the one that, you know, how everyone starts to just kind of slowly grow on you more and more each week. It's Jessica Wilde and Jimbo for me. Those are the two that are just like growing on me more and more as the competition continues. And then also we're kind of seeing Heidi get a little jealous.
This was my
and the jealousy starts to bring out those little characteristics that make it dicey. So it seems like, yeah, something's gonna happen next week.
I hate when they're like, I was gonna leave because I didn't win. It's just like, all right, we don't have time for this. I had like this in part of my weekly grab too, because I feel like Lala Ree is a person growing on me, but I want her to spend a little bit more money on the material she uses.
Yeah, that's why she's not
Sometimes
gonna win.
It comes across very cheap.
Yep.
And it's like you can be cute on a budget. And I feel like Heidi's a little bit more expensive than her in terms of like the material, but La La Ree is growing on me every week. I think that Candy coming in as like runner up, because she never says she was on season 13. I was runner up. She has to remind you that she was second. And if Simone wasn't in it, she would have been first. She has to continuously remind you of that. So I do think, you know, she's making money. She's on tour. I do think that ego is feeding into her. Mm-hmm. But I also do think that Candy is bringing it. So I think that her being in the top is not helping. I'm so happy Jimbo was not settling on that idea, because he's like, no, like, it's about us. I don't want none of the pit crew and in the shot. Yes. And he's the reason why they won. But the freaking... The old woman's group, that was the word. I was like, what
is the one that
Alexis Michelle group? Yeah. I knew it was gonna be.
I didn't like how Alexis Michelle was fast to throw what's the name under the bus. I was like, really, Alexis? Come on.
The way she couldn't wait, best friend.
I didn't make up the choreography. Like, wait.
This was not my idea for a sketch. Yes. Somebody, like, it's like somebody's like, do you want to say something? Yes. I just want to say that we wasn't my idea. You know, I hope that they read her for Phil. Well, I guess only person left is James Mansfield, but she doesn't take me as that type. But I just think that's really funny of her. I hate when they do that, because you could have spoke up loud enough if you really hated it. If y'all would have won, you would have been like, it was my idea.
Exactly. So cut it out. Right.
I hate that they do that. I do think we do need Candy on this season, though, because we need a little spice.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because this season is dry as hell.
And I can't wait to see Kahana kind of turn up. I saw, like, the clip. Like, I don't know what makes her mad, but she kind of...
Right, but I'm here for it. It seems like definitely whatever that secret is that Heidi knows, she brought it up.
Yep.
And it gets spicy.
Yep, and I gotta catch up to the Untuck too, because I think they're gonna go a little deeper in it in the Untuck of, I think, last week. So I'm so excited for this season. I can't wait to see Snatch Game too. Like, that's gonna be fun.
Oh yeah, I'm excited. So. Yes, that's always my favorite, like, 8th season. But did you have anything else on your weekly grab, Bestie?
No, I guess we could dive deep now.
Well, I mean, I did want to, I had one more with Vanderpump Rules Reunion.
Oh, yes. Yes. I did watch that. I that's the second episode I watched. I did watch that. You can touch on that.
I did. So part one of the reunion, well, just what I can tell, I just wrote down, you can tell that Tom had been over Ariana. And I told you that, like, they have been, they were done long before the affair. There's no heartbreak in his eyes. You can see he just don't give a shit. He's more and so it's like, save those little fake ass tears. I loved when they shut him down when he tried to start crying. Everybody was like, oh, get out of here. You are not the victim. And that was hilarious. He's like, all right. But it's like, he looks like there, you know, you don't see any heartbreak in his eyes, but you do see the betrayal in Ariana's eyes. Like, she really was still willing to just ride it out with him. You know, she kind of she was just content with the relationship because she didn't really know herself as a celebrity outside of being with Tom. So you can see now with this breakup, like, she's really feeling more liberated, as she should. And Raquel was just backstage looking dumb in that trailer.
So stupid. And first Sheena was like, no, Lala, I saw she did an interview with, said she shouldn't have watched this. She shouldn't have been allowed to, like, think about it. But had she not had that dumbass restraining order that she eventually dropped,
right,
she would have been on the stage anyway.
Exactly. So, but they like she want her ass it. Up. She can't handle it. She's not really good with words. So
not at all.
Tom Schwartz and Katie, you know, they're divorced. They already were divorced. And you can see, like, they are still, like, arguing like a couple that just broke up. And so what I get from them is that they were meant to be friends, but I don't know. There's something there that I just can still see them revisiting a romance in the future. I kind of feel like they needed this time apart. They started dating in the early 20s. They ended up getting married. I feel like they never allowed themselves time to explore and find themselves. And maybe in this period of divorce and doing that, who knows in some years if they, because I don't know if it's just me, but I still kind of see something there because of that friendship.
Think she can trust him though? I think him knowing and, like, keeping the secret though is going to fuck with her trusting him. That's what I think. I think that she might love him, but him knowing and being, first of all, him even kissing Raquel to make it seem like it was something. I think that's going to bother her. I think she still loves him from the two episodes I've watched. I don't think she's going to trust him. Wait, let me ask your opinion. What do you think this revelation is going to be? What are your thoughts?
Oh, I don't know. I was kind of thinking it was like the pregnancy or something. I don't know.
So they said that she's not pregnant. They said that her people confirmed she's not pregnant. And then I saw another rumor that they said it was that Lisa knew, but Lisa said, I know the revelation. I definitely didn't know. So whatever it is, they think that everyone's not going to want to do another season. Ooh. Whatever this thing, that they're saying, whatever it comes out between the Tom, Ariana, and Raquel, like individual sits down, something comes out that basically not everybody will know until the last episode, episode three, and it's so like juicy or life-changing that they don't know if people are going to want to do another season. So I'm like,
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it sounds really juicy, like it's building up for the next season, but you know, I'm always here for the mess. It's just as long as
I'm going to start watching.
So we will see. But on that note,
shout out to Ariana getting a bag. Sorry, I see her everywhere. She's in Kane. She's doing finance, like commercials.
She's way more in high demand now. Who knew getting cheated on could be so liberating? You know, like Ariana found out. But on that note, let's get into our piss poor performance. I had to drag those S's of the week. So who's on your list that you want to drag, Bessie?
Vanessa from Ultimatum Queer Love.
Oh, yes.
TV's not for everybody, sis. And TV's not for you. And I hope you know that you are an embarrassment. I hope you know that you need help. You are a narcissist. The way Lexi clocked you for not taking the experiment seriously, like, and then you got caught on mic'd up talking about how much you influence people. She's not that big of an influencer. She has a couple thousand followers on TikTok. The way you gaslight everybody, like, you knew that Xander was picking Yoli, so you decide to give Mal this emotional ass speech. Mal was like, sis, I sat with you one time. Like, the way she got in her feelings about Xander really just saying, Yoli, you do this, da 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 da. She's like, Mal, we just had such a connection. And I just wish we talked more. Mal was like, sis, we just thing. I also think that she's kind of like gaslighting / manipulating Ray with the whole sleeping with her on purpose, knowing it was a big deal. Like, Vanessa's a horrible person. She's definitely leaving alone. Ray's not picking her. And I think even if pick Yoli, she's going to know what's out there. She's not going to take Vanessa back. Vanessa's leaving by herself. The whole time you're whispering fuck off to the person you love, because I think she used the show to cheat with permission and thought that Xander was going to be miserable. And she might have been pushing Xander to her damn one.
Right. Oh, the karma's going to be good. Only thing, though, I am still very intrigued on Mal's reaction when she finds out that Xander and Yoli got it popping.
At least it wasn't as dramatic as Ray and Lexi, because, like, how you text Lexi as soon as you have sex, like, I sex with somebody else, and now Lexi's crying to Mal.
Right, yeah, that was, like, messy.
I was like, hell to the no, to the no, no, no. Who's on the piss poor?
Miss Marlo Hampton and her obsession with Candy. It's weird and uncomfortable to watch. Banging on Kenya's door while she's with her child was completely out of line. Now, granted, everyone else was banging on the door at first, but it was like once Kenya came out cursing and said she's in there with her child, you see Marlo proceed to kick the door and say, well, Brooklyn in another room. Like, she makes no sense ever. She throws off the group setting with her weird shade. It's not funny. It's just uncomfortable. And it's not even like I feel like she should go back as a friend. I just feel like her time is done. I think that she is showing more and more why, like, her dynamic is just not needed. It throws off the entire group. We don't need her. I would have rather had given Courtney more camera time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she's not, Courtney is annoying, but it's hard to even get, see that when Kenya, I mean, when Marlo is Candy didn't pay to help me get my record expunged. Oh,
Candy didn't help me with my credit.
Candy wasn't even there and was so much of the conversation because she's so weird. It's like, Marlo, you are weird. And then, like I said, her weird dynamic with her nephews. She's like, yes, it's my annual Halloween photo shoot with my nephews. Her nephews wasn't in one of her previous Halloween shoots. So you're just trying to scurry them along, breathe them along for this storyline. And it's like, what is your storyline, honestly? Like, other than you being obsessed over Candy, what is your storyline? You have no storyline. They gave you a chance. And honestly, I'm not going to fault Bravo for that. She had been around since for so many years. They were like, all right, Nene's gone. Let's try this thing out. 2 seasons in, I can see it's just not working. She has to go. She is a liability.
I agree.
Last season, she said something so nasty about Kenya's daughter, they had to edit it out. This season, you all up in Drew's face, kicking on doors. I just think the more that they give her a chance, she's going to keep crossing the line because her boundaries, she doesn't have it.
I think she thinks that she has to be this person and make these things up to be on the show. And you don't. You could just say, I don't like Candy, so I'm going to pick on her. But the way she's reaching, sis, I don't like you. We not friends. Why the hell am I going to try to get your record expo? Like, why am I helping you?
Right.
Why are you having this narrative? Like, I knew your nephew. We was best friends. And then he got shot in front of my face. Like, she just does too much. And you don't have to do that. And Kenya should have whipped your ass. I'm sorry.
I would have came out swinging.
Bring my daughter to another hotel room.
Like, what? You're not making any sense. But on that note, let's get into our yes. Because my yes is Miss Kenya. I'm here for Kenya. Roy. First of all, I know I love me some Carlos King, but he was definitely throwing shade, talking about, oh, this season, where is it going? Like, where's the real storylines? I want to hear about Kenya's divorce. It was only up to episode 3. This was just episode 4, and we got that. Kenya finally gives us an update on her divorce and how Mark Daly just don't want to sign the divorce papers. But she is like moving on and dating this new guy, Roy. And you can see how giddy she is over him. And
yes, he's handsome too. I'm not going to lie. He's handsome.
Yeah, he's handsome. She's bragging about the sex, being a 9.6. I am just here for all of that. He called Monietta to check on them when he knew they were going to be together. I'm just like here for it. Like, I'm just here for it. You know, we got to see Kenya with her dream come true of having a child. But I still want to see her really find genuine love. It wasn't with Mark. We all knew it when she was turning into Ken. To try to appease Mark. And that whole relationship was just a disaster. So I still am rooting for her and finding genuine love. And it could be with this new guy, Roy. And I'm here
she
for
deserves it. And I hope she gets that healing that she needs. Because with her, like, abandonment with her parents and stuff. Yes. And she just looks happy. She looks healthy. She's so beautiful. So I'm Team Kenya. Kenya Moorhead.
Yes. And who's on your list?
My yes goes to Lil Pleadill. Okay. From a Black Lady sketch show. Now, we'll be honest. I'm not the biggest fan of the entire series. But every now and again, they have something that's a little funny that I'm like, maybe I like that. So this season, I'm sorry, I really didn't laugh. But him and his character and his skit had me dying because it's just a quintessential hood guy who's funny. She has the accent down to a T. I want to see a show with Lil Pleadill. That's it. I want them to act the whole sketch.
A whole spinoff.
Just of him, because he's like the way she is, like this dude, and it's just hilarious with all this ice. Talk about my mind is on my money, my money's on my mind. Fuck Bunny, but I miss you, Shaquita. I love you. I got you net tatted on my eye. He just made me laugh this weekend. So, little please,
we all know a little plea deal.
Just a little ghetto guy that just does too much and loves every woman, but always is in and out of jail.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I really want to watch the rest of the show, but it's just not.
It's not. Good.
I'm going to pray on it.
Just pray on it. Yes. Give us a little Latasha Scott. Pray on it. And so now let's get into our deep dive, because we have a mutual show that we are both watching, because Saneha finally.
I finally caught up. It lives up to all the hype. I love Summer House. It's amazing.
Martha's Vineyard, the black one.
Yes, Martha's Vineyard. I'm not watching the other one. I love it. Jirazin, you're 100% right. I love the cast. Justice for Mariah. I love Amir. He's so handsome. Bria gets on my goddamn nerves.
Yes, she does. She does. She really tried it. So are you caught up with the latest episode?
Yes, I'm caught up to the latest episode. I think she's trying it. These are all a group of friends who know some way, somehow. Why are you always the one? First of all, you bring a fucking dog. Right. Now you want to bring a man. You got to stop bringing things that you didn't tell people you was bringing. Right. And then it's like vacation.
It's the way she sprinkled it, right? It's like they were drinking, they were out drinking, and you're like, oh, he's going to come the last week. That doesn't mean he's going to come and stay the entire last week. That wasn't put into perspective for me until now. You're telling me this later after the fact. And it's like, oh, wait, now, hold up now, you know, because it's like, if you're saying he's going to come the last week, that could mean like, oh, he's going to come a couple of days in the last week.
Why does he have to come, best friend? That's my, why?
First of all, she already tried it, bringing in her dog. Now you trying to bring in your 90-day fiance boyfriend from Germany. Okay, so it's like, and then you're seeing, because her this, I'm leaving the house because they're showing opposition to her bringing her boyfriend. I think even if they had said no, when she asked them at the bar, it would have been the same thing. Like, you can tell this girl likes to get her way. And she is a bit of a manipulator, because you saw Silas saying that to her when they were arguing. However, I do think that Silas and Jasmine are coming off like the house dictators. And I don't really understand it. It's giving me very much Kyle and Amanda, like on the original Summer House. And I don't get how it's always like a couple that they become the leaders. The difference is like the show is starting off like this. Like, see, with Kyle and Amanda, Amanda came in by like season two, as just his hookup buddy. The show initially started, everybody was single and everybody was just kind of hooking up. So Silas and Jasmine kind of having this, like, they're like the Beyonce, Jay-Z, the parents of the house. It's a little like, you know, and then Silas, because he comes from the military, he is very militant. And I don't know. I do think that is a bit much. I don't know why they're the only two deciding on who stays and who goes. Because if you look at it, they really are. Tried bringing in Phil. That didn't work.
Phil had to go, though.
Now she's trying to bring in her. She brought in her other homegirl. That worked. Now she tried to bring in her boyfriend. Silas and Jasmine are saying no. But then they brought in different groups of people. So why is that not a no? So, you know,
I think with Bria, though, is that she's waiting until the last minute. I feel like people knew who was coming into the house. I feel like Bria just like, I'm going to do what I want. So I agree with like Jasmine and Silas shouldn't own it. But Bria needs to stop trying to spring shit up. Because if you tell me we going to a damn vacation, right, and it's some damn, like, I love dogs, but that's a big difference to bring in an Airbnb house. So I feel like she has to go. I love Alex. I feel like I know a lot of Alexes nowadays who they're like former like fuckboys who are like one with themselves and very zen with the universe. Shanice is annoying. Her and her boobs. I love how Amir was like, oh yeah, you know, she just had her boobs out.
Who's Shanice again?
Shanice is the light-skinned one.
Okay, that I had to leave. Yeah.
No. Who only can stay on the weekends because she's a door-to-door salesperson.
Yes. Yes.
Sure. Also, sorry, this sounds bad. I thought Nick's surprise was going to be that he had a boyfriend.
Oh, no. No, I wasn't thinking that.
I was like, because the way he was hiding it. But I do think it's kind of messed up to be flirting with all these girls. And yeah, talk about how in love you are with your girlfriend. That's kind of whack.
Right.
That's
well, we know those. I think he's a Kappa.
Him and Alex are Kappas. And we love Preston. It's Preston, right?
Who's Preston?
That's the alpha, Silas's line brother.
Oh yes, yeah, it's Preston. He helps bring the order. He's like a good balance to the house. But yeah, I told you, I love that show. It's great, like very relatable for us. I'm here for it. I'm here for season 2, 3, all of that.
I hope they do a reunion. I feel like they do because I see that they do it for Summer House. Because I want Mariah to come back and say how she feels that Amir was the one who got her kicked out and didn't try hard.
Amir did not get her kicked out because nobody told Mariah to act the way she acted. I'm sorry. I'm kind of here for her, like, you know, standing her. There was no reason for her to stand her ground. She got too aggressive. You were ready to explode on Bria. And that's why you didn't give Amir even a chance to be like, hey, ladies, I'm the one that put the clothes in. You came in with the clothes.
Ready to fight.
Pushing it in her chest. And it's like, girl, you can't be doing all of that. And so, yeah, no, I would have felt uncomfortable. Like, no, I don't want to be up in a house with somebody that's putting their hands on people. If Phil had to go, she got to go. So I don't think anybody got her kicked out of the house. She got herself kicked out of the house because she got offended from when she wanted to do that nighttime ritual. And even with that, like, people were trying to be there with her, but it's like, you're doing a lot now. It's cold. It's like, if you're going to do something like that, nobody should be outside longer than like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So you got offended because nobody wanted to do your family ritual. Like, girl, no, check yourself before you wreck
yourself.
It's a house, it's a house effort, child. It's a house effort.
And I love Jordan. I do feel like Silas is very
overprotective. Oh, I love Jordan. She's my favorite.
Jordan's my favorite. Her. I do think that Silas is not used to Jasmine just having fun and being friends. So
yeah, he's.
I hope they work.
I hope they work. I mean, I see them working, you know, but he's definitely gonna have to learn to ease up. But now they're on this show, so he's gonna be getting called out. So I totally see them, like, I like their chemistry as newlyweds. They're young, but like, you can see like they match each other and they do be getting it popping. They be having sex every damn night.
Woo!
Like, we gotta sit here and listen to y'all having sex every night, but I can't bring my boys.
Silas said, oh, they got the black lens. It's okay. Kim K and Ray J. I was like, wow.
I do like them.
I do. But hopefully him watching TV, he could see like, maybe,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that he's just trying to ease up. Because that's it. It's like, boy, ease up. Like, relax.
The way they edit it, like, every time she's not around, he's like, bet.
Right. It's like, boy, relax. Like, but you can see how compatible they are because she is a vibrant soul. She's likable. That's why she has all these friends. And he's so, you know, he's kind of militant, you know, he's like, oh, alpha versus kappa. They're like, come on. Like, he's one of those, those kind of Greeks always annoy me, where they want to kind of make everything like about Greek life is really kind of corny. But I still like how she compliments him. So I think he got to fight for that. He can't push her away because she's only just bringing out the best in him. So I'm rooting for those two. It's a great show. I love it. I'm happy. This is one of my favorites that, you know, it just kind of reminds me like, okay, Bravo, you get it. You see us. You've missed a lot, but this time you didn't.
But they got it. This, and I better not see this going in one season. Okay. I need this to continue. Don't sleep on us.
Exactly. And on that note, let's get into our positivity. What you got, bestie?
I focus on thoughts that empower and uplift me, and I release thoughts that drain me and bring me down.
Affirmation. Affirmation. Bang, banging down.
Gang. Put it on a post-it in your mirror. What about you?
I don't know why that Smokey Robinson song popped into my head.
Which one?
The one where it was like an anti-gang violence. Picking up dough.
I know what you're
talking about. Gang banging. Bessie, you gotta know this song.
Dude, that's why I'm laughing so hard because it was in the 80s.
Because he was really trying to help clean up the streets.
Gang banging.
Banging. Gang banging. Okay, my positivity is attract what you expect. Reflect what you desire, become what you respect, mirror what you admire. A little poem.
Affirmations and gang banging.
Yes, gang banging, gang banging. And on that note, Our slogan is
love, abundance, and good hair bundles. Not just regular hair bundles, good ones. Human hair. Five by five closures.
Gang banging. All right, y'all. We
happy
will
TV watching.
Yes. We'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye.